This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And this afternoon, a look at Aviva Health. Casey Bolton is the CEO. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
So just so everybody knows and kind of gets on the same page, maybe you can kind of explain what is Aviva Health.
So Aviva Health's been in the community over 30 years. We started as a free walk-in clinic in downtown Roseburg, changed our name to Umpqua Community Health Center, and then recently rebranded to Aviva Health.
And how many years back did it all begin?
1991. Was a starting point for the free clinic downtown.
So a lot of changes over the years.
You could say that, yes.
And at what point did you join Aviva?
So I joined the team about 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago.
And what services, for people who maybe don't know, what services does Aviva provide?
So we do kind of the big three for community health centers. We do behavioral health, medical or physical health, and then dental.
And how many staff do you have working there?
Right now, we're right around 250 staffers that are full-time equivalents.
So that's a big change from a clinic with a very small amount of people.
It is a large clinic, indeed. We've got over 12 care locations and then two administrative sites.
Wow. Now, how's it set up? I mean, in health organizations, a lot of people always have trouble figuring out you've got profit, you've got nonprofit, you've got a lot of different ways that health organizations are set up. What about Aviva?
So we're designed to take care of the underserved by our very structure, not only the 501c3 nonprofit piece, but our federally qualified health center designation allows us to go after certain grant types from the federal government as well.
And are those federal locations, is that common? Are those in a lot of places, or is it about unusual?
You know, actually, community health centers, when you kind of take them as an aggregate, they're all locally governed. But when you take them as an aggregate, we're the largest primary care network in the United States.
Wow. I think a lot of people probably don't know that. What has the past 18 months been like for Aviva?
Well, I know I have a short amount of time here on your show, but we've really tried to flex what we can do as an organization into areas that the community needs us to be.
And when the pandemic hit and as things were evolving, what were those first few weeks like?
It's hard to even describe. I think I got asked by the county to come help the county's response team at that level. And so I ended up having to leave kind of the day-to-day operations of my organization to my COO and have him run the show. I think it's really that first couple of weeks is really just trying to get up to speed with the situational awareness of all the variables and try to understand the timing of things. And I think a lot of us were just, you know, sprinting out the door, not quite sure what direction to go in yet.
And when a pandemic hits, I mean, as Dr. Dannenhofer said before, really almost no one was alive during the last one. There are a few people out there that were, but certainly for public health professionals and people involved in any area of medicine, it was kind of a crash course in figuring out what to do.
Yeah, I don't think any of us could be trained or prepared for that sort of thing. You can do tabletop exercises and talk about it, but the actual, you know, operations of it is really challenging.
So when you got asked to help with the county, what was all involved with that?
Well, the first kind of 24 hours was, again, just trying to understand what the problem set was in front of us in terms of what we thought the case rate might be for the county, and then kind of finding out what those resources might be available for us to tap into or at least synchronize.
And I recall that Douglas County was one of the first counties in Oregon, maybe the first, I'm not sure, but one of the first anyway, to have a COVID-19 case.
That may be true. Our first case happened when I was on vacation, so that kind of predates me, but that makes a lot of sense, yes.
So as you got started with the county, again, everything was very different, but you've got a military background. Did that kind of help out in getting some things organized?
I think so. I think it gave me a different lens or experience base to kind of pull from. But, you know, like I said, I don't know if I think you asked me one time on one of your shows, like, did the military prepare you for this pandemic? It's hard to prepare for some of the unknowns that we really, for example, when we started off, when you plan, you don't assume that you're not going to have PPE. You know, you kind of have certain assumptions. We got, PPE was all in China. So when China shut down, basically that caused a whole different set of variables for us to pay attention to. So even something as simple as, well, you're going to keep seeing patients, you're just going to put on your protective gear. Well, what if you don't have enough protective gear to do that? So now you're rationing out even some of that basic thing. So just walking through those things, I think the military just helped me think more flexible in terms of, all those different sorts of logistical considerations.
And that was definitely at the front end a challenge for the medical community.
Most definitely.
And even exactly what level it should be. I mean, CDC was still putting out, looking at things, working on guidelines. And because a lot of industries, a lot of things you could, people could work remotely, do things differently. But there's certain, obviously, medical situations where you've got to be in the same room with somebody. And yet people wanted to be able to give that care, but still be safe for their staff.
Right. I think it's fair to say that most folks that work in healthcare have, didn't do the remote work thing. It's just really not possible for the whole system to do that. Telehealth can help, but there's no replacement for, an in-office visit with your provider.
And along the way, as all of this was going on, we've had different points where certain services were either officially told to pause, or in other cases, just individual organizations, just based on caseload and what they had to deal with, had to kind of rearrange and prioritize. 18 months later, how far behind are a lot of groups in terms of folks' regular appointments?
Yeah, I you would have to kind of peel that onion a little bit based on service type. So my guess is that most areas are pretty caught up, except for it really changed how dental approaches the, dental is very procedurally based. And, in my layman's terms, I say, dental is very juicy. And so it aerosolizes things a lot. And so responding and handling it in the CDC manner now has really added several minutes to every patient visit. I'm sure other dental activities are seeing this. And so, you have your backlog in terms of just, one of the first things you kind of push to the right is dental cleaning, which is an important service that you do. So all that kind of unpent demand is still playing catch up, particularly in the dental realm, and you just can't, the visits are longer. And so, it's really kind of a logjam.
Yeah, that seems like, and it's really across the board. I mean, with all the providers, I know somebody that was told to come back in 3 months, and they looked at the schedule and they said, well, it'll actually be 6 months.
Right. And then there's the whole supply chain challenge of, are you going to get the supplies, whether it be your glasses for optometry or, some of those things are still very sketchy.
And in dental, I don't remember what month that was into things. I mean, there was the pause there for a while. And the first time I went back into the dental provider, suddenly they had all these new, new procedures for doing things. And I hadn't really even thought about that going in, but it very different and a lot of work for dental providers to have to shift how they did things.
Yeah, it was, I won't say a full sea change, but man, it sure put an additional workload on all the folks who work in dental.
How do you think people are faring that are medical staff around the community with the last year and a half of this?
I would hate to characterize other organizations. I'll tell you, it's been a slog for us at Aviva. And I'm so proud of my team in terms of how they've responded and to non-healthcare sorts of domains, or at least things that weren't really prepared to do, like a mass vaccination event. We put that together, or mobile medicine. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think what drives us, keeps us together, and is that glue is really serving the community. And I've just seen the staff, you know, keep on keeping on, all the way down to someone who works in billing up to, you know, my providers. It's just, and that inspires me to do more as their leader. So, you know, we're in a good spot, but, man, like everyone else, it's been a slog.
We're going to take a break more with Casey Bolt when we come back. We're talking about Aviva Health, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 inside Douglas County and News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1248, Lawrence Larson at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Casey Bolton with us from Aviva Health, talking about Aviva as an organization and also dealing with their role in the community over the last year and a half as we've gone through this pandemic. I imagine that you've probably worked more hours than in the last year and a half than you normally would.
That's fair to say. Yeah, that's fair to say.
And I mean, I know that's the case for a lot of organizations, even outside of health. There's been a lot of other areas that have been impacted by it. Do you feel like people, though, are still pretty focused on what they're trying to do on all these different levels of healthcare?
I think I understand your question. Yeah, look, healthcare doesn't stop because there's a pandemic. So like we were saying during the break, there are things you got to do that are routine sorts of care. And so you've got to figure out how to do that while you're doing the pandemic response. And I think that's been a challenge for a lot of us, is that balance. You know, you could really get sucked into trying to expand in terms of like location, you know, vaccination capacity or whatever. And, you know, at some point you got to balance that sort of convenience with the reality, like everywhere else, you know, having trouble hiring folks, the staffing piece can sometimes be that kind of rate limiting factor.
And you've done a number of shifts at Aviva in terms of, you know, even usage of your properties and, you know, drive-in clinics and different things like that. What kinds of things are you currently offering in terms of the COVID-19 testing and that kind of thing?
So we still have our drive-through testing there by Costco, the old credit union there. All of our clinic locations are capable of doing testing. Not all of them can do the rapid test, but most can. We also are providing both flu vaccine, should be on any day now. I apologize if it's not ready. It should be any day. We'll announce that out. But also other vaccines and where we're allowed to, the boosters, like for Pfizer and for kiddos.
And one of the things about this past year and a half is, you know, everybody knows things are changing, and the booster situation is certainly that right now. I mean, you're waiting for different guidance. It seems, you know, every morning I hear different pieces of that, but we're not quite through all of, you know, the protocol for everything yet.
Yeah, and, you know, even the term booster, you know, I'm sure Dr. Danohofer has, you know, been careful when he's talked about it, because there's a booster and then there's a third shot, and they're not the same thing. And so really kind of sorting that out, I think that's the work of all of us that work in healthcare, to make sure the public knows kind of the difference and then what the timing is, and then, you know, getting them in.
And even what we've heard in the past week or so about what people would maybe call, if they aren't medical people, mixing and matching, one with the next shot being from another, and all the discussions and all the research that goes into stuff like that.
Yeah, and again, you know, as you're building this plane mid-flight, some of that stuff in the past we might have known in advance and would be able to kind of roll out the vaccine and go, yeah, these two can go together. The CDC and FDA are rightfully cautious about some of those things to make sure, you know, they're not going too far down one path and have it be, you know, a big mistake. And I think that's why sometimes there's been confusion in the public, because, you know, oh, they've changed, you know, they haven't got it right at all. Well, they keep changing because we keep learning more and more about the virus. And if you recall, when we first started, we were worried about surface contact being, very contagious. And it just hasn't proven to be the case that that's how COVID really spreads, is surface contact, that sort of thing.
And in the midst of all this, too, you are, you know, not just focused on COVID response, but you've got a residency program, for instance.
We do. Thanks for bringing that up. We have 16 young doctors right now in the organization. We have another 8 that will join us in July of 22. And, you know, for that reason is why we launched our expansion project there by Costco to add another 34,000 clinical and administrative square footage to our footprint.
And that had probably been something you've been looking at for several years, right?
We weren't quite sure how we were going to operationalize the program, but, you know, relatively recent, though. It's only been 3 years in the hopper in terms of when Dr. Taylor approached me and Kelly Morgan from the hospital, and we kind of worked on that together.
So how do you feel like it's going with the residents so far?
I can't say enough about how wonderful these doctors coming in are, in terms of they're focused on rural medicine. To a T, when I talk to them, they all love Roseburg and Douglas County. Several of them have indicated they want to stay here when they're done with their residency. The program is kind of been a little bit hidden because of the pandemic, but it's been super impactful. Coverage for the ICU, a lot of those residents helped the ICU during this latest surge. And some of the weekend staffing for our ER triage setup that we had. So they've been, you know, elbows deep into this whole thing with the community. And, you know, it's just been wonderful.
And they come from all over, right?
They literally come from all over in terms of they're all U.S. citizens, but, their medical school is in various places, some up the road in Lebanon, some, you know, literally in foreign countries. But the vetting process has a lot of rigor. And when we get these kids here, you know, they just really engaged with the rest of the staff and the community and the patients. When I talk to them, they just love their doctors. It's just one of those things that I wish we could kind of, promote more organizationally so folks would know.
And obviously we've seen a shortage, and really rural America in general, there's been a shortage. A lot of physicians, it seems like, maybe like certain other careers, have until recently kind of gravitated towards bigger cities.
Absolutely. And so when we recruit for these kids, you know, we're putting it all on the line that, hey, this is really for a rural sorts of approach to medicine. And it's the full spectrum, whether they want to do a private practice or they want to join an organization like mine or Evergreen or that sort of thing. So you get exposed to all of that.
And are there other projects that are underway right now? I mean, you've got a construction site going. That's its own major project, but other things you're looking at?
Sure. So we still haven't figured out exactly how we're going to operationalize our mobile medicine capacity. You know, we got those clinics and put them, you know, push them in the deep end of the pool, if you will. And we really want to kind of understand what the community's needs in terms of some of these maybe more remote locations like Dave's Creek or Diamond Lake, fully have that understanding and be tied in with kind of the bigger plan. We have a building downtown that someone gifted to us that we haven't talked a lot about, because we're, you know, right now, if we had to do something downtown, we would probably leverage mobile, but we do have that on the radar. And, you know, other sorts of services, we kind of think about what does a community not have in terms of healthcare, and then we start kind of generating our thoughts, because in some ways we're very well suited to do it, because we have not only kind of patient collections helping prop us up, but we do have the grant fund streams. And so we don't compete directly with any of the other organizations. We try to augment or enhance what the community needs as a service.
So if people want to find out more about Aviva and the organization, the things you offer, where would you send them?
I would have them go to our website. Our website is our name, so it's aviva.health. If you just put that in your browser, you'll get to our website.
All right, Casey Bolton, CEO of Aviva Health, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me, Kyle.
That wraps up Inside Douglas County. Back tomorrow.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.